Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and this week I'm on the road for Journey Across Japan 4, the best things come in quadrilogies. I never thought I'd be doing Journey Across Japan this much. The reason I'm on it, still doing it, is because it's popular though. You guys have been wanting it and it's fun to film, usually. Not so sure about this past week, but here to discuss it with me is the one and only Joey, the animation man.
That's definitely my name, and you totally did butcher it. We've known each other for how long now?
Well, too long, Joey, too long.
Yeah.
Although your new name is just Joey, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just Joey.
Yep. He's got a second channel that he's pushing hard.
You push my full name from now on.
Joseph Tetsuro Yamashita.
Yamashita!
Bissinger the third. I
don't know. It's just Joey Bissinger.
It's just Joey Bissinger.
Yeah.
A traumatised Joey Bissinger. We're in Okinawa right now, to be precise.
Ishigaki.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Joey and I have been having lots of fun, but it has been intense, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've been here for, only 2 days now, I think?
In Ishigaki,
and it feels like a week.
Yeah.
Because of just all the stuff we've just packed into this past 2 days.
I mean, what have we done today alone? We went to, we went into our big blue cave in like a abandoned part of the
that
island.
That's the most vague way you could have said that.
We went in a cave.
A big blue cave.
Big blue cave.
And it's we like saw Blue's Clues.
And within the big blue cave, we saw some blue fish.
Yeah.
So lots of blue.
Lots of blue. Nothing but blue.
What else did we do?
We went to a Shisa, what is it? It's not like a museum. It's kind of like a park of sorts.
Yeah, we went to
where they make giant clay statues of these like really colorful psychedelic shishas.
Yeah, the gods.
I keep saying Shisha.
Shisa.
Yeah.
I know what you've got on your mind, Joey. Yeah, Shisa are like these godlike creatures. They're like dogs, like lions. And they sort of protect the people of Okinawa and Ishigaki. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very funky looking.
Yeah.
And back over in Okinawa, we rented a yacht for a day.
That was very cool.
Probably the highlight of the trip.
I'd say so, yeah.
And we also stayed at a villa and did a Dr. Jelly ad. Hopefully the last.
I feel like we said that for the third one as well, but like I genuinely wonder why that character is even popular.
It's just fun, isn't it?
For me,
I don't really like him, but it's
one on a personal
level. Or the man that portrays him.
Yeah.
But what I like about Dr. Jelly is it's just a bit of fun.
And
it's more the creativity involved, isn't it?
Yeah.
In conjuring up a commercial.
It's a team effort.
Within the space of a day. And this was the most stressful one to date for the simple reason that we shot it outdoors. It was the first Dr. Jelly, I think, that was shot outdoors.
Was it?
The first one was set in a train.
Yeah.
A real train. That was really cool. The second one was set in a museum, in a 1960s-style restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
The third one was set in a hairdressers/karaoke parlor.
Oh, yeah,
in Nagasaki.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Just saying this is making me blow my mind. And the last one was shot in an Okinawan villa. But because it was outdoors, the villa, by the pool, we actually had to shoot it over 2 days just because of the weather.
Yeah.
So shooting outdoors instantly makes life about 20 times more difficult.
Yeah.
Remember that. If you ever get into filming anything, it's much better to film indoors where you
I
can,
also had to say Dr. Jelly backwards while jumping into a pool. So that was exciting. Interesting.
We did it so Dr. Jelly jumps out of a pool this time. But we did it in reverse.
Yeah.
Because we can't literally have Joey catapult out of a pool.
Yeah, I'm not a dolphin.
Not yet, anyway. but Joey, to do this, he had to say, Dr. Jelly, like backwards.
Yeah, and then jump into the pool as if I'm coming out of the pool.
It was quite an impressive spectacle. I haven't really seen how it turned out yet. I saw like some test footage and it looked good. What was Dr. Jelly backwards? Do you remember?
No. I committed it 100% to short-term memory. And then the moment you were like, yep, that was good, it's just gone.
Jesus.
From my memory.
I mean, it's going to be a good one. And also, another highlight, we stayed with Jackie's family. We had dinner with my friend Jackie.
Yeah, that's right.
You might have seen Jackie, guys, in a video where I went to Sapporo about 2 years ago, or various videos I've done with her throughout the years. I poisoned her Inatsuki, famously, with hot sauce.
which, I've seen that video,
that's
yeah.
a classic, over on the Chris Abroad channel. That was a lot of fun. And we went to her house. Fate was very kind to us, and Jackie was actually in Okinawa the same time that we were. And her parents invited us over, and we trashed their house.
They were incredibly hospitable.
Yeah. Even, you know, I feel bad about what went down in that house. suffice to say, it was Jackie's fault. She wanted to get revenge on me for the hot sauce debacle.
Yeah.
And the hot sauce incident.
And she pulled out a weapon, I believe.
She got revenge, as you'll see. Mm. And that wasn't very fun. and then tomorrow, the last day of the trip, we have Ryotaro coming down to Ishigaki to ruin everything, and that should be fun. It's the first time that Natsuki and Ryotaro are in a video together properly.
Which is crazy to me, because I just thought that they would have done videos together, like, for the longest time.
Yeah, well,
I don't know why.
One of them is enough. Like, they're both pretty insane, right?
Right, right.
Ryotaro's off his rockers. Natsuki's just bonkers.
Yeah.
The two of them combined, it's just a bit too much.
And this is the first time I'm going to meet Ryotaro.
Yeah,
this is the most chaotic situation possible.
A baptism of fire, to put it bluntly. It should be a lot of fun. God knows what's going to happen. We're doing a Takeshi's Castle style series of challenges.
So one of us is going to die in the end, I believe.
Someone's going to die.
That's how it works, right?
It's going to die. We're all going to die.
I never watched the show.
Yeah. Basically, lots of people
get
destroy themselves for a ridiculously small amount of money.
Yeah.
That they could win, but they never win it.
Fantastic.
That's what we'll be doing.
Great.
But, it's been a bit of a strange week, though. Earlier this week, while I was trying to film and be poisoned by Jackie and be on a yacht and film all this stuff, I was also fighting off a demonetization case on YouTube. You guys might have seen, if you follow me on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. I was trying to get things done, and then YouTube took my latest video, which is where it's a wacky weekend episode with Connor. We went out to see the snow monkeys, and it got demonetized very randomly. And I was not happy.
And meanwhile, I was sitting there going, first time?
Yeah, and Joe gets demonetized every Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because of why do you get demonetized so often?
I want to ask that question. I don't know why. I guess, I don't know, YouTube doesn't like anime, I guess.
He breaks those rules with his anime.
Yeah. Why do you think I stopped making anime videos?
He's not the anime man anymore, is he? He's just Joey.
The platform doesn't really allow me to without losing money, unfortunately.
Just become the man.
Yeah. I'm just going to be at one point.
But like, it was a really, you know, sometimes when you get demonetized, they don't really tell you why, and it was a bit vague, and
Time they don't tell you why.
Well, I'd spent so much bloody time editing this video the other week and shooting it, and because I don't make that many videos, probably like once every 2 weeks at the moment, when a video goes up, it's really important. It does well and it gets seen. Yeah. And the worst thing about demonetization for me, losing the revenue is bad. I can live with that as long as it's not a regular thing.
Yeah.
But the problem was, when your video gets demonetized, they basically don't share your video on the platform. And the moment it got demonetized, views went from 16,000 views per hour, real time, to 3,000 views an hour. The video was basically dead.
Yeah.
because it's called throttling it, and they throttle it on the platform. So there was a real sense of panic and anxiety to get the situation resolved. I went on Twitter, and I ranted about it, mm-hmm. and it got picked up by a lot of powerful YouTubers somehow. I think a lot of people retweeted it. You retweeted it. Connor retweeted it. I think Ludwig saw it,
yeah.
a really big YouTuber. And lots of people retweeted it, messaged YouTube. Eventually... And the problem was, again, I hadn't really been told why it got demonetized.
Mm.
Some people... We spent a lot of time... Instead of filming Journey Across Japan, we were debating why the bloody video had been demonetized. Was it Connor naked in the bathtub? You said you thought it was Connor.
Yeah, I thought at first it might have been Connor... I mean, he wasn't naked in the thumbnail. Yeah. He was obviously wearing boxers.
Well, I mean, Connor's face alone is cause for demonetization. Of that, there could be no doubt.
But, like, you know, sometimes, like, YouTube systems now are getting a little bit clever now, where they can actually detect the amount of skin on a thumbnail. And sometimes if it's too much skin, according to the algorithm, then it can be flagged for being nudity, quote-unquote,
yeah.
right?
Which is,
you know, really... stupid.
He certainly was riddled with skin.
Yeah, so I'm like, it could have been that. It could have been, but YouTube's also really weird with like animal videos, and I know you
really?
Guys like to go see like snow monkeys and stuff like that. Like certain types of content, the YouTube algorithm really doesn't favor for no reason, really, other than I don't know, someone at YouTube doesn't like monkeys or doesn't like animals or I don't know what the fuck it is, but
well. It turned out, in the end, it was to do with swearing. I called a duck a C-word. I'm not going to say the C-word here. I'm a man of honour.
Yeah.
I basically, it was an outtake at the end of the video.
Right.
And I've cut it out now.
Yeah.
Where I'm shooting with Connor, and then a duck goes in the background. It breaks my presentation skills, and I'm like, fucking duck, C word, blah.
It was the moment where Chris goes from abroad in Japan to Chris Ford.
I mean, that duck caused a great deal of agony.
Right.
But the duck got its revenge, didn't it? Because the video got demonetized.
Yeah.
Bastard duck.
It's so weird, though, because it was right at the end of the video, right?
Yeah, and basically, you're told with YouTube videos that swearing is okay, as long as it's not sort of in the opening 30 seconds.
Nowadays, it's more like within the first couple of minutes.
Oh, crap.
Yeah,
right.
It used to be the first 10 seconds, then 30 seconds, but now it's like, a minute or two.
And soon it'll be the entire video.
Well, I mean, I think you've proven that it might honestly have gotten to that point.
Well,
already.
Apparently I learned that the C word is somebody told me it's classed as a slur against a prejudiced group or something on YouTube.
What?
Yeah. I discovered later that it's some sort of... It's important to point out with the C words, which we're not going to say.
Yeah.
In Joey's homeland of Australia and New Zealand, they say the C word like a term of endearment. Like, all right, mate, he's a good C word.
Yeah, you call your mates the C word and you call C words mates.
Yeah, whereas in the UK, it's a bad word. But then in America, it's like the end of the world. You say the C word, the sky falls down, and the world comes to the end.
Every church in the country gasps in unison.
But also, to add to this enigma, before I found out it was the C word, the moment it got demonetized, I received an email from an angry Christian dude who ranted for about 10 paragraphs about how it was all right to say the F word and swear and anything, just as long as I didn't say the phrase Jesus fucking Christ. And he went on a rampage about how, you know, it's worse than saying the N word. He said it's worse than saying the N word.
Which is the most ridiculous statement I've heard in my entire life.
His claim was, you know, I believe in God. Yeah, fair enough.
Well, fair enough, yeah.
And by saying that, I find it incredibly insulting. You're insulting God.
Right.
To which I'd say, if there is a God, why are we holding him accountable to the parameters of humanity? Surely God's got bigger things to worry about than me going, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, God's just put everything down. He's like, hold on, Chris just said my name in vain. Oh, how dare he?
I'll take my eye off the war in Ukraine. Someone said Jesus fucking Christ. Honestly, like, when believe in God, go for it.
What's so weird is that he was okay with you saying the F word. Right.
He was right with literally everything, just not the phrase Jesus,
just not
fucking,
Jesus
Christ.
Fucking Christ.
It was. It really made me angry, and I'll probably make a video about it one day, reading out his entire email, because it is insane the way it's written. So I thought maybe he'd reported me as like some sort of religious bigot or something.
It could have been as bad as well, yeah.
I just didn't know, but I think it was the C word. I cut it out, and YouTube said, now you've cut out the C word, we can remonetize it. And they remonetized
it. So weird.
And all was well once again. But that was a bit of a saga, and I sort of, I don't know.
And then meanwhile, 2 days later, I got a community guidelines strike.
Joey, if I got hit with, like, a cruise missile, Joey got hit with a
meteorite.
Neutron bomb. Because he got actual a proper strike.
Yeah, right? I got a strike from, like, a video from, like, 2 years ago, which was monetized fully. Mm. The entirety that the video was up. And this is, like, a 35-plus minute video of me making, like, a hentai tier list or whatever. It was for bants and jokes, but whatever. But, like, it was so weird because for the entire time, I had, like, over 3 million views, fully monetized, and then one day YouTube just goes, Thanos snapped out of
Thanos
existence.
Snapped.
It literally Thanos snapped the video out of existence and was like, no, bad. And I'm like, well, why did you not warn me with at least a demonetization? Then I would have kind of been a little bit more on edge, right? But yeah. It's almost as if now, like, I still have a ton of demonetized videos, which, let's be real, is probably a lot more worthy of a fucking community guideline strike than the video that actually got community guideline strike, right? So it's almost as if the demonetization is like a safety barrier of sorts, of YouTube going, we're not going to give you a strike, but we'll give you a little slap on the wrist.
Strike's a serious thing, right? You get three of your channels gone.
Yep.
And you can't post a video for a week.
I can't post anything for a week.
That's insane.
And the strike lasts for 3 months, so it'll be expired by around middle of July.
So what happens? YouTube or someone reported your video all these years later?
I don't know. It's either somebody reported it or YouTube systems found it after 2 years. Mm. I really don't know. I appealed it. It immediately got denied.
Huh.
So I guess someone at YouTube found it and was like, no, this is bad, even though it's a video from almost 3 years ago at this point.
God.
So it's really scary. I mean, I should be okay. I've had plenty of community guideline strikes in the past, so I'm at this point, I'm just kind of used to it.
I mean, yeah.
I'll start to worry when I get the second one.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Which I've also had a couple of times.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's nothing scarier than that.
I think for the most part, to be honest, I've had a very positive experience with YouTube. Your experiences have been a lot more tough.
Yeah.
Just because of the nature of your content, anime, manga, I guess there's a lot more topics.
Yeah,
to sort of,
and you know, it's been weird, right? Because you know, even if my YouTube channel name is The Anime Man, you know, I should be dealing more with that kind of content. And for the past year, I haven't really done all that. I've kind of shifted away from that and just done, you know, general Japanese subculture and weird type of videos. And I've barely had any of my videos demonetized.
Huh.
Yeah, I think I've only had in the past year, I've maybe had one or two videos demonetized. But before that, I used to get like almost like every third or fourth video demonetized.
Interesting how YouTube like is slowly maybe nudging creators to change their behavior and the way they act. I look at my videos over the years and I've certainly got a lot more wary of what jokes I tell and what things I say.
Yeah.
I think that's why I left the C word in, as I thought, I want to get away with this. I want to see if I can.
Test the limit.
Well, you know, it was interesting actually when I posted that video with the duck C word, I put it in and then I actually cut it out. I was like, no, I can't have that in the video. I'll put that on the Patreon outtakes.
Yeah.
The end bit was like a little plug for the Patreon behind the scenes video, whatever. And then I was like, no, screw YouTube, screw the rules. I'll put the C word in. And then I caused all these problems.
And then YouTube was like, oh? Are you fighting me?
But I had another joke in before that. A lot of people speculated. There was a scene where Connor and I tried to get into this tiny bathtub, which we thought would be bigger.
Yeah.
And it looked very shady. It's very dark. It's just Connor, like, naked in a bath. And I referred to it as the Jeffrey Epstein experience. And a lot of people thought it was that. But it wasn't that. It was that. You can talk about Jeffrey Epstein. It's fine. I make jokes about
that. It's so weird, though, the double standards, right? Like, you know, a video like mine, you know, where I don't show anything sexual at all. Sure, the contents I talk about, you know, might be a little bit sexual, but, you know, nothing I actually showed was sexual in any way, gets a community guidelines strike. Meanwhile, naked yoga is a thing on YouTube and it's fully monetized.
Yeah, you know? It's all a bit...
It's very double standard.
Black and white, all a bit odd.
Yeah.
I haven't really had this issue in a few years, which is why it was such a surprise.
Right.
Connor, I did a video with Connor last year. We went to this love hotel and he left a topless woman on a TV screen in the video. Didn't realise the video was fine for like a day, then it got demonetized.
Right.
And he edited out, but it was too late, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
So that was his own stupid
shot. How was your channel, though, during the first, like, wave of the apocalypse?
A few videos got demonetized.
Right.
Just a couple, though.
But there hasn't been anything like that recently. That was 2017, right?
And, yeah.
And things have moved on. I think YouTube is a good platform. It's still one of the few platforms where you can truly have a career out of nothing.
Yeah.
Compared to, say, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook.
Right.
Some people on TikTok might disagree with that, but, you know...
Oh, I don't know, man. I've heard some of the income that, like, the top TikTok creators have been receiving, and it's pretty yikes. Have you heard about that?
No.
So, like, there was a dude who, I think, there was a report that came out. I don't know how true this is, but I saw it in a couple of sources, so it must have some accuracy to it. But there's a dude who got really, really big off TikTok over, like, the span of a couple of months, and he made approximately 1.5 billion views in
right.
a month. In a month.
Oh my
god. His TikTok's got 1.5 billion views, which YouTube standards is like stupid. That's
well,
like
for
Mr.
reference,
Beast level.
I think Abroad Japan's got like 400 million views in 10 years.
Yeah, mine is also like maybe 500,000 views in 10
But also TikTok videos are what? 5 to 15 seconds.
Right, right. So it's way easier to gain those views,
yeah.
right? But do you know how much money he made from 1.5 billion views in a month?
$30,000-$40,000?
He made $15,000.
$15,000.
$15,000 off 1.5 billion views.
See, 15 grand a month sounds great, but for that kind of viewership,
yeah,
that is astonishingly
yeah.
bad. Like,
yeah, like it's horrendous.
Oh,
like 1.5 billion views, YouTube would be. Jesus.
Well, you'd be the richest man in YouTube.
Yeah, you'd be like Mr. Beast levels at that point.
Yeah, and, you know, he makes something like $12 million a month. So,
right.
I mean, yeah, that's a very good point. I think TikTok might inflate those views as well.
Mm.
I find it very odd how TikTok works. I don't like TikTok. I'm not a fan of the whole direction that media is heading in.
Yeah.
I've been talking to lots of people about it. There's, you know, YouTube Shorts is very popular at the moment, driving a lot of traffic. I see the value in it.
Yep.
But as a creator who's been doing YouTube 10 years and likes longer form content where you can have a proper emotional connection with your audience,
yeah.
I just feel like you can't do that in a 15-second video.
Yeah, it's kind
of
like...
You can do something funny quickly or you can, you know, you can do something educational.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe
it's like getting emotionally connected to a Twitter account. You know? Like it's a little, you know, difficult
yeah.
with that kind of content, you know. It's not long enough for...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
I just worry that the human attention span is going to get shorter and shorter.
Well, I mean, if it hasn't already. But I've heard that TikTok actually might be increasing the time limit to TikToks now to like a couple of minutes. So and I'm like, is that just not YouTube back in 2006? Like, we're kind of doing a full circle again now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it was like, it started off really short content, and then people favored much longer content on YouTube, and then it became extremely short, and now we're back to kind of short content again.
Yeah.
It's like a continuous wave.
I mean, I had a phase last year where, you know, the longer the content, the better, a lot of people said. I remember talking to you and Connor and, you know, you guys were looking at doing longer videos. And
I mean, we do a two-hour podcast.
You do a two-hour podcast, but a podcast is different, right? You put it on the background and go about life.
Yeah.
Video is a bit more complicated.
Right.
I believe it's best to keep the video as short as possible, you know, as long as the content's there. I'm happily going to make a 30-minute video probably of each Journey Across Japan episode because it's packed full of things. Right. But I don't like to inflate videos for the sake of it.
Yeah, of course.
For example, the Ken Watanabe documentary, right?
Yeah.
That was 23 minutes long. And I remember a lot of people were sort of disappointed. They're like, oh, have you spent a whole week with him? Why wasn't it longer? And it could have been 2 hours if I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been a very interesting 2 hours.
Right.
Even at 1 hour, it might not have been very interesting. Because I'm aiming it more at a general audience rather than the Ken Watanabe obsessed fans.
Right.
I wanted to keep it short, sweet, to the point, interesting, entertaining. I always want to try and keep viewers thinking, I wish I could have seen more.
Right.
Rather than, oh God, this was too long.
And then that's when you guide them to your Patreon.
And then you go on Patreon and the longer version's there. Although, to be fair, there was a good behind the scenes version there. Check it out, guys.
Wow.
But, I always try and keep it as short as possible,
which
is the opposite to a podcast.
Well, I mean, again, as you said, like, podcast's a little different, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, like, yeah, I mean, you know, I totally get that sentiment because it is a very fine line between you don't want to make content too long because then people won't tune into it, and YouTube runs, you know, on that whole algorithm of watch time. Right, versus the view, or versus the ratio of the entire video. Right?
I mean, watch time is one thing. Click-through rate's still the king, I'd say, the main factor. I don't know if I showed you. I don't think I talked about this on the podcast either. I saw a video recently that made me want to hit my head against the wall. And no, it wasn't Joey. It wasn't the Iron Man. It wasn't your videos. So I saw a video that had, I think it had 40, it might even have 50 million views now. It had like 50 million views in about 10 days.
Jesus.
And do you know what it was? Here's the thing. It was a video that I'd done before, a topic that I had covered before.
Oh, I think I remember you talking about it.
Ranting about it, probably.
It was the sleeper train one, right?
The sleeper train.
Yeah.
Japan's luxury sleeper train that takes you from Tokyo to Tottori in the West. And that was my biggest video of last year.
Right.
All the cool shit I did, all the wonderful places we went, and people love just seeing me on a train
sleeping,
I didn't sleep. I slept for 1 hour. It was awful. I hated that train. It was kind of fun, but didn't sleep.
Right.
They should call it fucking nightmare train because it was kind of a real headache. But anyway, I had about 5.6 million views on that video, which is a great amount.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice video. Everyone enjoyed it. This guy, 50 million views in 2 weeks.
Fucking hell.
But how did he do it? And his channel, I think, had, we're talking like 100, 200,000 subscribers at the time. How is this possible?
Yeah, that's really suspicious.
Well, I thought that at first.
Yeah.
But the way he did it, or she, I think it's a he, doesn't show himself in the videos.
So it's like POV?
It's a POV style video.
Right.
There is no dialogue.
Okay, so it's like ASMR?
Well, it's not like walking around the train, breathing.
That's a snoring for 2 hours.
Train. oh, God. There's subtitles. So he'll get on the train, it's like, I'm getting on the train. Ooh,
right,
the train.
Right,
amazing. Right, so the whole video is subtitled. It's in a first-person perspective. And here's the genius part. All of those English subtitles that they've written, they've translated them into
50 languages.
Right.
Along with the title. So that video is being pushed out to all these different languages.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Demographics that might not be normally watched. So, you know, India, yeah. Population 1.1 billion, big viewership there.
Yeah.
Indonesia, Malaysia, lots of countries there, big population, might not be able to speak English that well. Mm. Although I realise all three countries I've just listed are actually pretty good at English.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, so he'll translate them into 50 languages.
Right.
They won't, and because they're being translated on YouTube's tool, the translations aren't actually entirely accurate, but they're enough.
Right. They're good enough, yeah.
But all those factors, and a decent enough thumbnail, it's just a nice window with a view and a tray.
Mm.
All those factors have led to 50 million views.
Christ.
Potentially, you know,
more
hundreds of thousands of dollars off of a $200 trip on a train.
Jesus.
That's the ultimate money-making scheme.
He has min-maxed YouTube.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's done so well, he's done it three times before.
And oh, this, really?
No, he's done it two or three times, right?
Wait, the same video?
The same video. Similar. Right. He changes what seat he sits in every time.
Right.
So in the first one, he was in the luxury seat. The second time, the bunk beds. The third time, the cheap seats.
Yeah.
The cheap one did the best. That was the 50 million one.
Right.
The luxury one only got a pitiful few million.
Well, yeah, I mean, people don't want to see people on YouTube having a good time.
Well,
they want to see a challenge, right?
Well, yeah. But, like, it just blows my mind. That's, like, the ultimate money-making trick.
There's been a couple of videos that are similar to that, actually, now that I think about it, that have garnered a lot of views, kind of inexplicably.
Well, there are a lot of these channels, like Solo Travel Japan, or yeah. I think Cougars Travel. I'm not saying they're bad channels, you know, they're pretty good channels.
There's a lot of vlog channels as well that are like that, where like there's no one actually talks, it's all just dialogue, subtitle based.
And I can see why that's popular. Mm. And it's important to point out at this point, I'm not criticising any of these channels, well done to them. Am I bitter? Absolutely. Why am I bitter? I spend a lot of time on my videos.
Yeah,
they do well. 50 million views, though. I don't think all of the Abroad in Japan videos in the entire last year made that.
No,
but
no.
He got that off a train. Oh, God.
I can hear the bitterness from
Chris. I am
Chris
bitter.
Was.
I'm going to go and on that bloody train myself and just make the exact same video silent. But it's fascinating. And the reason it did so well, click-through rate, extremely high.
Mm.
So the title was tantalising inside
Japan. You reckon it's like the subtitling as well? The subtitle?
Yeah, for sure. So it's being pushed out to so many different demographics. Mm. The title's tantalising, the thumbnail's interesting. High click-through rate, extremely high. YouTube goes, oh my God, this video, it's better than God. And shoves it in front of everyone. Everyone around the world is getting this bombarded in their main screen, this thumbnail, this video. They click on it, they watch it. It drives the watch through time, and off you go, you have a hit.
Mm.
And that's the most important thing on YouTube. Remember, if you want to get into the world of YouTube, the only thing you need to do is have a video that has a high click-through rate, like 12%.
Right.
That's all you need to do. You don't need loads of subscribers these days. You just need a tantalising topic, a thumbnail, a title, reel in the viewers, and as long as you've delivered on the content and have that watch time to match it, you'll be good to go.
And YouTube does the rest, basically.
YouTube does the rest.
Yeah.
And it's both good and bad. On the one hand, it means you, listening right now, wherever you might be in the world, you could have a YouTube empire very quickly if you choose the right topic.
You can be the next Mr. Beast.
You could be the next Mr. Beast. You could be the next Joey the Anime Man.
No, don't be that. Unless you want a third of your channel to be demonetized.
Yeah, demonetized and flagged for inappropriate content.
Yep.
That could be you. But like, I think it's both good and bad.
Mm.
It's bad also because, from my personal perspective, I'm a lot more... there's so many videos I want to make and things I want to do, and I think, oh, I'd love to do this, but I can't, because no one would click on it, no one would watch it, and the video would do badly, and the channel would die, basically.
Yeah.
And that's something that kind of is unfortunate. And I have to rule out a lot of topics. I'm trying to think of any off the top of my head. I think like sumo wrestling, for example.
Mm.
You might think, oh, sumo wrestling, oh, everyone wants to watch that. They don't really. And they don't. And nobody's ever made videos on it because nobody's actually overly interested. And the click-through rate would be bad.
It's also really hard to... I mean, I've tried to make a video on sumo wrestling, but just, like, getting permission from very, like, traditionalist, like, cultural sports like that is... It's... Oh, God, it's a nightmare.
It's a... Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm very selective. Even with Hyde.
Mm.
I remember when I first was approached by Hyde, the rock star.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do it.
because a lot of my foreign audience won't know Hyde, who he is.
Yeah.
They won't click on the video, it won't do very well. So, but in the end, I rebranded it by calling it I Spent a Week with the Biggest Rockstar, something like that, to make it vague and appealing.
Yeah.
So it does shape, YouTube's algorithm does shape how you make videos and the topics you choose and the things you don't make videos about, which is kind of sad, I think. But, you know, but then it's not, we're saying YouTube algorithm, but really it's just human nature, isn't it? We're fighting against.
Yeah,
YouTube magnifies it.
I think Mr. Beast said it best, where he said, like, we call it the YouTube algorithm. What it actually is the YouTube audience.
Sure.
At the end of the day, like, it's, you know, we think it's like this kind of, you know, mechanical, like, all-seeing robot that determines what does well and what doesn't do well. But at the end of the day, the people watching the videos are the ones that are telling YouTube, hey, this is a video that should be pushed. You know, so it's like you should be. A lot of people say, oh, you should be making videos for the algorithm. But in reality, you should be making videos for the audience.
Mm.
And I think that's what is the sad part when it comes to that point where it's like, as you said, at the end of the day, even though we personally might really want to make a video that we personally have a lot of, you know, passion and, like, knowledge and, you know, want to share it with people with, sometimes, you know, the audience is like, nah. I don't want to. And then that just tells the YouTube algorithm, well, guess we won't push it then.
and that's why it's just changed how I do YouTube, and for better or worse.
But you know, I think that's another big reason why, like, I started my second channel. I think that's why you started your second channel.
It is, right? Yeah.
It's for, like, experimentation. And,
people, you know, are worried that I've got the second channel because I want to leave Japan and secretly disappear off to a second channel. It's not that. I wanted just another outlet for more kinds of videos, right? Yeah. Videos that I don't think would have done well on abroad in Japan.
Right.
And I can have that peace of mind when I put them up there. And ironically, a lot of the videos that I put on the Chris Abroad channel actually do as well as the Abroad Japan videos anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm probably just being a bit, I don't know, pedantic, but I don't know. It's a strange system. But once you understand the YouTube algorithm, life gets a lot easier. But it did change a lot. Mm-hmm. There was a time where if you were subscribed to a channel, you would always get the videos from that channel in your feed, right?
Yeah.
So YouTube sort of took away the empowerment of the creators in some respects.
Mm.
You know, I used to put out a video, all my subscribers would see it.
Yeah.
Now, 40-50% will see it because YouTube is recommending to them other videos from other channels they've subscribed to.
Which,
or
on
videos,
the grand scale of things, is still healthy.
Yeah, and it is a healthy number.
Yeah.
And as someone who consumes a lot of YouTube content, that's fine with me, because my homepage, video, feed, whatever, that delivers all the videos to you, that basically dictates what you watch, it often gets it right, generally.
Mm.
But, that's our thoughts on YouTube.
Yep, the never-ending discussion.
Never-ending discussion. But I've got to think about how I'm going to, you know, with Journey Across Japan, Escape to Paradise, coming soon, I've got to think about what I'm going to title the episodes.
Yeah.
I'd love to write Journey Across Japan, the I can't remember what the series is called. Escape to Paradise. I already forgot it. I'm tired. Journey Across Japan, Escape to Paradise, episode one, right? It's not like TV where you could have like a 6-part series and nobody cares.
That probably worked 10 years ago on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It certainly doesn't work now.
No.
So I've got to think every day we're filming, what are we going to call this one? I can't call today's episode I Went in a Cave in Japan, because that's not going to cut it.
I went in a blue cave.
Yeah.
You won't believe what happens next.
I don't know what the hell I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
24 hours in Ishigaki.
Maybe.
I don't think that'll do very well. People don't know what Ishigaki is.
Yeah.
And that's why, once you've made the video, you've got to think a lot about how you're going to pitch it and market it and sell it to the YouTube audience, and that's where it gets a bit more complicated.
I mean, my personal rule of thumb is, if I think of a video idea that I really want to do, the first thing I do before anything, before
title,
I film it or anything, is, what am I going to call it?
Yeah, and I'd recommend that to any of you guys listening that want to get into YouTube, even podcasts, right? With this Abroad Japan podcast, while our listenership, while you guys do tune into most episodes, it definitely fluctuates up and down depending on the title.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely.
Annoyingly, Mr. Pete Donaldson, my good friend, our beloved co-host, whenever I'm away and I forget to give him a title, he just writes, like, a dog. He'll just write, like, a silly dog. And just have, like, a stupid title that he just quickly bashes out. The audience will, like, lose, like, 20% that week.
Right.
And it's just like, God damn it, Pete.
Think of something. Like, you've got to have a good title. Podcasts, YouTube videos, whatever it is, you've got to make it appealing.
Yeah. I'd argue any content of any medium on the internet. Like, it's all about just that initial, you know, pull.
It's a constant battle for attention. Yeah. And giving people something worth listening to or watching.
But exactly.
Hopefully we've given you something worth listening to today, guys. How are you, by the way, Jay? Before we go, you good?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Have you had fun on Journey Across Japan?
I always have fun on Journey Across Japan.
How's this series compared to previous series?
Well, I mean, the weather has definitely been more on our side than the last couple of Journey Across Japan.
True. It was
like a typhoon.
Typhoon, right? On season two,
yeah,
going through central Japan.
Which, and then we had a typhoon season three in Yakushima.
And so far the weather's been good, but it's been too good on this trip because we've had heat stroke for 4 days.
Well, you've had heat stroke.
And we're all sunburnt to pieces. Natsuki's nose is falling off.
Yeah, it's like Rudolph.
He's basically become Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. His nose is so bad. I think it's been a fun journey across Japan. Lots of beautiful locations. I think some of the most stunning locations we've had on any season.
Definitely.
And I can't wait to share that with you guys.
Journey Across Japan 5, when?
I don't know. I don't want to think about any more Journey Across Japan for a long time after this season's done. But I'd never, you know, never say never.
Yeah.
Might be nice to do a one-off special.
I'm always down.
Absolutely. But thank you for joining today, Joey. And
no worries.
We'll see you soon.
Yeah.
This season of Journey Across Japan will be coming out, guys, most likely, hopefully, towards the end of May, before I go back to the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So keep an eye out for that. Thank you again, Joey, for coming.
No worries.
And I'll be joined next week, guys, because I'm still on the road away from Pete Donaldson. We haven't seen much of each other the last few weeks, so looking forward to catching up with him properly. But we will be joined by another Pete next week. Pete Macy, aka Premier 2, is back on the podcast. He's much loved and much desired to be on. You know Pete?
Of course.
Pete, what do you think of Pete?
He's a character, that's for sure.
He's the American Natsuki. That's the easiest pitch for Pete.
That's the best description I've ever heard.
Pete will be on, so there's that to look forward to. But for now, guys, thanks for tuning in. And no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll be back here to do all over again on the Born Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Bye.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.